Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The lines are open, and we invite your call to 844-322-2742. If there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
And Basic Gospel is all about the joy of the Lord, and that's especially true during this Christmas season. The angel appeared to the shepherds and said, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people, that today in the town of David a Savior has been born unto you, Christ the Lord. He is cause for great joy to all who come to know him." And we see that joy talked about all throughout the New Testament. We see it a lot in the Old Testament as well, but it's always related to the presence of God, his presence in our life. That's what causes joy. And Christ Jesus himself is our Emmanuel, God with us. And when we come to know him by faith, he comes to live inside of us, and he is always with us. And as a result, we can always experience joy. We can know the joy of the Lord. And that joy becomes our strength in times of suffering and times of trials and times of tribulations. That joy enables us to persevere, to endure, to move forward, to get through those troubling times in life. We see this in the life of Jesus himself. The writer of Hebrews put it this way, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." So as believers, we have a race marked out for us. It's a new way of living. It's a life of faith, hope, and love in Jesus that's expressed in love for one another. That's this race that is set out before us. And we need to put aside all those things that we held to in the past, those things that so easily entangled us or were obstacles for us. We need to put those aside and just look at this race. And the writer of Hebrews gives us a way to do that, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. How do we run this race? With our eyes fully fixed on Jesus Christ. And he gives an example. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Joy is what moved Jesus to endure the cross, to disregard the shame, to pay no attention to it or take no notice of what the world was saying about Jesus at that dreadful moment in history. He endured that for the joy that was set before him, the fact that he was going to be returned to glory, was going to take up his rightful position at the right hand of God the Father, but even more so, the fact that he could dispense joy to those of us who would turn to him by faith. So that joy enabled him to endure the cross. We have that same joy living in us. His name is Jesus Christ, and he himself will become our strength through trials and tribulations.
That's the major focus of Basic Gospel for this month, that issue of joy. And we would love to hear from you if you have something you'd like to share about the issue, or if there's something else you'd like to talk about. We have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, of course, guys, we are well into the Christmas holiday season. And friends, what if this year you could give gifts to your postman, to your hairdresser or haircutter, or to the neighbors that could have an eternal impact? Well, Christmas gifts can indeed carry the message of God's love to everyone on your list. And one good idea, I think, is to give the gift of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, Bob Christopher's great book. Give that this year. What a great idea, and a great discount is available right now, and there's still plenty of time to get your copies in time for gift giving. All you need to do is go to SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com online and make your order today. SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com.
Well, thanks, Bob. We certainly appreciate that. We're going to go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to our good friend, Clay. Hi, Clay. Welcome to Basic Gospel today. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. Good to hear y'all. I listen every day. It's just sometimes if I'm out in the country, I can't call because phone's not good enough. But hey, Bob, first off, I want to tell you I read that Life on the Edge. Is that the correct title, or is it Living on the Edge that you wrote?
Yeah, Living Life on the Edge, yes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. You know, it puts a lot. I just want to thank you for it. It's really good. I'd never read it before, but I enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you did, Clay. We I wrote that quite a number of years ago, and we really haven't advertised it very often since then. But a lot of great information.
It's one of those things. You know, it's more pertinent every day. It's just as pertinent today as it was when you wrote it.
Well, that's good to know. Relevance is a key thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
With this Christmas season, my favorite scripture is, I believe it's the Word was made flesh and dwells among us.
Yes.
In John. But at this Bible study in different places, and this spirit of Antichrist in 1 John 4:3, it says, any spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and it's the spirit of Antichrist, okay? Now, to defend that, I start there, and then I talk about his resurrection when he appeared to people in the flesh. Thomas, the road to Emmaus, you know, how he ate, drank, spoke, and different things, okay? Is there any scripture that you could think of that I can have as more armament to show that he was occupying the glorified flesh that was divided? Described in 1 Corinthians 15.
As far as the resurrection,
yes, and you were talking about seated on the throne. Now he's seated in that same body that he was resurrected in. There was no old body left in the tomb. So whatever he was during that 50 day, he's seated for us on our behalf right now in it. Right.
Yeah, that body ascended and took its rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. I think the passage in 1 Corinthians, and of course, you know, the final chapters in all of the Gospel accounts will show, I guess, the most information about what his body was like in that resurrected form.
Some people want to believe, it's almost like they're surprised that it wasn't some kind of spiritual thing. You know what I mean? Or something new.
Yeah. Well, and that's,
say, well, there wasn't an old body left in the tomb.
That's right. That's the good news. That tomb was empty. The body that was there was no longer there. Why? Because Christ had been raised. He is alive. And that really is the hope that we have, that one day our bodies are going to be resurrected as well. Not in the same form that they're in now. They're going to be new. New resurrected body, spiritual, and they're going to take the form identical to Jesus's resurrected body.
Amen.
That's our hope as believers. But, Clay, it's interesting you bring up this passage in 1 John 4:3. You know, part of the reason that John wrote that first letter was to correct some error, some heresy. And there were a lot of people that were saying back then that Jesus actually did not come in the flesh. He was just a spirit being. And this was
from birth or resurrection?
All of it. He was just a spirit being because they believed this notion that only spirit was good and flesh was evil. So Jesus being good, he could not be flesh. So they just had him as a spirit being. Well, if he was just a spirit being, that robs us of the gospel message. He couldn't have gone to the cross and died bodily. He couldn't have been buried. He couldn't have been raised from the dead physically, that body of his. So it just wipes out the gospel message. So that's why John says that anyone that believes that Jesus did not come in the flesh is antichrist. That is anti the truth about Jesus. It's anti the truth about God. It is anti the truth about the gospel. If Jesus didn't come in the flesh, then Christianity falls apart at the seams. Yes. There really is no.
Right?
Well, yeah. There's no other point. Another couple of passages you may look at. Right at the beginning of Romans 1. Paul talks about Jesus being God, and that is demonstrated by his resurrection. You can't be resurrected if you are not physical. Now, the physical form changed, but you can't be resurrected if you're not physical. And then many of Jesus' appearances in the book of Revelation are very human. However, they're very glorified human. And so I think there's plenty
that
of
argument. Right there. That's good.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. You can't be resurrected unless you're physical. A spirit can't be resurrected.
Yeah. Well, spirit doesn't need to be. Right?
Well,
it's the human part of Jesus that died and then was resurrected in the glorified form, and that's what guarantees our salvation. Ultimately.
But I'm not the only one. Do you ever run into this spirit? It's not really the spirit of Antichrist, but it just seems like you're talking something foreign to, when you start talking about the fleshly resurrection. But you know, and I explain that it's not like flesh, like what we have. You know, and you know, our finite minds can't really understand exactly what it is. But I know that he said, "Handle me, spirit doesn't have flesh and bone."
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think also the first chapter of 1 John is a really key chapter as far as that is concerned, because John says what we have seen, what we have handled, what we have touched, what we have beheld, we pass on to you. And he's referring to the Jesus. Resurrected Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yep.
All righty. Well, I appreciate it, man.
Well, thanks, Clay. Great.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Merry
you
Christmas
too.
To you as well.
Yeah.
Clay really brings up a great point, and what really distinguishes Christianity is the resurrection.
Correct.
Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. We're without hope. We're dead in our sins. Faith is futile. All of those things are true if Christ had not been raised physically from the dead. And I think he's right. We do gloss over that. We don't pay enough attention
Correct.
To that fact. But when you start to say that it was just spiritual, you really rob the gospel of its strength, of its power. You actually render it void and useless.
Yes.
So it has to be the physical death, the physical burial, and the physical resurrection of Jesus. If it's not that, it's not good news.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've tuned to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We have plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear your question right now. If you have something to share and in the area of joy, why, we would really love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, 844-322-2742. Well, let's take Clay's call and just maybe a giant step further with this question from John in Corpus Christi. He says, I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior and with a true heart believe he rose from the dead and was the sacrifice for the atonement of all of our sins. Why is it that I still have lusts such as looking at girls, smoking marijuana, or drinking beer? If Christ is in me, why do I have a heart that wants to do all of these things?
Well, let's make some distinctions there. You don't have a heart that wants to do that. Your heart wants to trust Jesus.
Yes.
You've been given a new heart. You have flesh that wants to do all those other things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see in the Word of God, you're either in the flesh or in the Spirit.
Yes.
When you're in the flesh, you were lost. And you live to gratify the desires of the flesh. Now that you're born again, your life is in the Spirit, but you still live that with flesh hanging on you, mm-hmm. and that flesh still wants what it used to want, and it's never going to change.
No.
The nature of flesh is never going to change. As a matter of fact, you know, the older we get, the more corrupt it becomes. It's not getting better. It's not improving. It's going in the opposite direction. So if you've been tempted in a certain way as a lost person, you've gratified a desire of the flesh, then that flesh is always going to want to be gratified in that same way. So if pornography was a struggle for you as a lost person, your flesh will still want you to look at pornography. It will still cry out and crave to be gratified through pornography. If you found comfort or solace, your flesh did, in smoking marijuana, your flesh will still want to find comfort and solace in that same way. Mm-hmm. If you instead of dealing with your problems, retreated from the pain and tried to cover it over through alcohol, you're going to want to do that. The flesh is going to want to do that once you're saved. That's just the nature of the flesh. So that's not you. That's just the flesh saying to you, hey, remember when we used to do it this way? And sometimes we think, well, yeah, I remember that, and it was kind of fun. But we forget that it really wasn't. It was empty. It was painful. It was miserable. So don't confuse your flesh for your new heart in Christ.
Correct.
Your new heart in Christ has been changed. You have a heart that once was an unbelieving heart, that was an independent heart as far as God was concerned, but now through the work of grace, through the power of the gospel, your heart has been changed. You are no longer an unbeliever, you're a believer. And you see that in your heart. Your heart wants to trust Jesus. Why? Because your heart has been connected to the Spirit of God. So there's a union there. It's this flesh that is speaking other things.
Yes.
So don't mix that up. And once you do, it's easy to say, hey, this is coming from outside of me. It's that sin factor that's trying to regain control, trying to reassert its power and control over us. And we have to say, Lord, you've already broken that power. You've already set me free. I'm going to trust you and live as a child of the light.
Absolutely. Well, you know, at the end of Clay's call, he wished everybody a Merry Christmas. We'd like to do that as well and remind you that Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, well, it's a great idea for the people inside and outside of your family this Christmas. And that's a gift that can have eternal impact. Right now, we have great discounts available, and there's still time, if you hurry, to order before Christmas. Only 10 days remaining before that particular date. So just go online to SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com and make your order today. Again, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Denton, Texas, and talk to Daryl. Hi, Daryl. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello, guys. I listen to your program after work and when I can, and I enjoy your messages. I was wondering, my question today, the difference in the resurrection body is cremated or buried in a cemetery. Cemetery space is less available nowadays. And also the finance cemetery is very expensive. And I'll leave that with that. And Merry Christmas. And I was wanting to listen to your opinion. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Daryl. Yes, we certainly appreciate it. Glad you've tuned in. And you live up in my neck of the woods, in Richard's neck of the woods. We're up there, so we'd love to connect with you face-to-face at some point. But as far as the resurrection of the body, you know, in honor of the resurrection of the body, burial has been a big thing as far as Christians are concerned. But what happens to that body once it's buried? Well, it goes back to dust, doesn't it? So God is going to have to take that and bring it back to life. So I think we have to realize that whether a body has been buried or cremated or something else has happened to it, you know, there's lots of people that die in fires or in car wrecks where there's nothing left, or, you know, wars happen and
explosions
and all of these sort of things. Well, the shape of the physical body at death is not going to be a problem to God as far as resurrection is concerned. He's powerful enough to make that happen. So I don't think we have to worry about that. God has already demonstrated his power over death and his ability to raise a body up in a brand new form. So these bodies, they're not going to come back, you know, in the same shape that they were in. It's going to be all new. It's going to be all new resurrection, spiritual bodies that can, you know, can be touched and all of those things. There's going to be a physicality to it, but it's so much beyond what we can dream or imagine. The only information that we have is what we see in Christ himself. But God has the power to do what God needs to do, and we can count on that.
Yeah, Daryl, if you want some biblical help on this, first of all of 1 Corinthians 15, but in particular verses 50 through, 54, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So he says, we will not all sleep, you know, that is die. Some of us will be alive when Jesus comes, but we will all be changed. So whatever the physical body is when Jesus comes back is going to disappear as we know it and be changed into the imperishable. We're going to put on glorified, not redeemed flesh, but glorified flesh. And so it all changes whether you've been buried or whether you're standing there saying, praise Jesus, he's back. All of what we know of as our physical bodies are going away to be replaced.
Glory to God. Excellent explanation, and y'all have a wonderful evening. Merry Christmas to everybody out there.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you too, man.
Thank you, Daryl. Thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. I'd love to send you as a Christmas gift from us to you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Hold the line, and we will send one your way, okay?
Thanks, Daryl.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you. I had an email question from Stephanie. She says, I'm currently looking to join a church where I'm able to serve and grow. However, what I'm finding is that most are centered around tradition and error as opposed to teaching the true basic gospel. I am really focusing on sharing the good news of the gospel based on truth and not error. Can you point me to some resources I can use in my walk to become a true disciple and accurately share the good news?
Well, we have some, I think, wonderful resources available to people. We have, of course, my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is a very good look at what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. The fact that he came that we might have life. In order to give us life, he had to release us from sin and death. That's where forgiveness comes in. And when you combine those two, life and forgiveness, you get freedom. And that's how we live as believers, free in Christ. So that is a good look through stories, through scripture references, to really outline what this basic gospel is. Those things that are of most importance to God, and if they're of most importance to God or of first importance to God, they need to be for us as well, because that's the foundation for everything else that we experience in life. We also have a wonderful resource called the New Covenant Journey.
Yes.
And it is a Bible study guide that drives you deep into the Word of God and asks a lot of questions about all the different passages that we lay out, and gives you the ability to allow the Spirit of God to teach you truth. And I think that is a wonderful, wonderful resource. And then we have another CD series called The Power of Eight. And that CD series really looks at the eight key truths that every Christian needs to know. Again, it's the deity of Christ. It's the Word of God. It's the cross. It's the resurrection. It's the new covenant. It's our identity in Christ. It's law versus grace. How then should we live? It's faith, hope, and love. So it takes a look at all of those things. So those are the resources that I would recommend to you and to anyone. And if you can get grounded there, then you can be a catalyst to start those conversations with other people.
Yes.
Wherever you land as far as a church is concerned.
Absolutely. And as Bob was saying, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace is a good way. And we have the study edition, the study series going on every Friday, including tomorrow. Hey, by the way, this year, what if the gifts you give could have an eternal impact in the lives of your postman, your haircutter, or hairdresser, or with your neighbors? Well, Christmas gifts can indeed carry the message of God's love in Jesus Christ to everyone on your list. A great idea this Christmas is to give the gift of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and we have great discounts available, and there's still time to get your copies in time for gift giving this Christmas. But we do need to encourage you to go ahead and make that order today, because there are only 10 days remaining. Simply go to SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com on the World Wide Web. Again, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for that study edition of Basic Gospel.